This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All the way to Nassau Grand Central. Eastbound slows in front of LaGuardia, again through Kew Gardens and out to the Clearview. Citybound George, good enough to the upper and lower. Southbound Deegan, best of it out. Lincoln, no more than a few either way. Still 45 minutes home at the Holland because of earlier police activity on the westbound side of 14th Street over at Marin Boulevard. Inbound Skyway is an extra 25 minutes once you get past the remnants of a truck fire on the eastbound Newark Bay extension after the turnpike. That really moves well the rest of the way into the city. Save money and time when you order online. Line with Supply House. Save 5% on HVAC parts with promo code FAN5 and save time shopping with part finding tools, 3D schematics, and more. That's supplyhouse.com, promo code FAN5. Code is valid through 9/30/2025. With the supplyhouse.com Fan Highway Patrol, I'm Greg Rice. 1010 wins on 92.3 FM.
Hey! We're talking New York sports. WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM-HD1, New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Let me hand out a couple of compliments. First of all, Rosie, for playing the 90210 theme. Thank you very much. That's compliment number one. Compliment number two, Tommy Lugauer. He's done a fine job doing the Cincos this week. And compliment number three, Sean Morash. He told us he was going to disconnect while away. And even though I kind of baited him a little bit at the beginning of his vacation, he went 5 days without posting on social media, and so he did it. And he's just returned to social media. And either, Tommy, it's up to you. You can read it as fake Sean, or I can read it as Evan's version of fake Sean. Completely up to you.
I can't read it as fake Sean because I have muted Sean on Twitter, so okay. I can't see the tweet.
I'll do it then. Would you like to hear my attempt at fake Sean?
Yeah, let's hear it.
This is Sean's first tweet after 5 days. Sean Morash is back tomorrow, 24 minutes ago.
I just landed at JFK. 5 days clean of Twitter and sports updates on the Virgin Islands. And I see we don't have a mother bleeping quarterback signed yet.
I think DeVito might be the answer.
So that's his response. He's back, and he's upset that they still don't have a quarterback. Unbelievably so.
That's the first thing he's thinking about.
That's all that's on his mind, bro. That's all that's on his mind. I baited him on Thursday when he first went away by sending him an article about how Pat Shurmur really wanted
Josh Allen.
Yeah. And he wrote back and he got very, very upset. I baited him the next day by just saying Clay Holmes is the Mets opening day starter.
Which is fact.
Which is fact. He did not respond to that, and to his credit, has disappeared since.
And he has not responded to that yet.
Did not respond to that because he said he was muting me until he got back.
I know, but he's back now, so I'm surprised he hasn't responded to that.
Yeah, maybe he's giving it up.
Like with a, are you bleeping kidding me?
Yeah. No, he's not responded to that. But I'm going to admit it. Sean's back tomorrow. I'm going to miss Tommy Cincos. Tommy's done some good Cincos.
You had done some good Cincos.
Now let's see if he can finish his Cincos with a bang.
Simple de flavor. With some more as some double fan. Tune in and hear what's brewing. The list that's also there. And much of the sea in the air.
opinions flying high. Sean's got the scoop, don't miss out. Give it a try. From the top to the bottom, the rankings are alive. Every week a new surprise, keeping listeners revised. So grab your sombrero, join the fun, don't be late. Cinco de Five-O on WFN, it's always great.
I gotta tell you, that's my favorite intro song.
Right. Too bad it's Sean's song.
Right.
Tommy has his own song.
Does he? Yeah.
The other one we have, the AI song, fits more of the Lou Gower profile. All right, this will be my last Cinco de Five-O here. Sean is back tomorrow. I think this will be my best one, though. And let me remind you, Cinco de Five-O is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com. So we have discussed a little bit today that this morning was opening day, and most of you were sleeping and didn't even realize it. So I'm going to give you the top five off-the-wall predictions that could happen before the real opening day next Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Here we go!
Number five.
St. John's loses to Omaha in the first round.
Come on.
Rick Pitino leaves St. John's.
Oh, God.
Tibbs is fired.
I think St. John's just went, losing was good enough. Keep going.
Pitino leaves St. John's. Tibbs gets fired. Pitino joins the Knicks in the season here and then leads the Knicks to wherever, we'll say. But Rick Pitino will be the coach of the Knicks during the playoffs.
Wow.
Never been done before, I don't think, to coach both Garden basketball teams in
the
same season.
What's the title of this? The most improbable?
So the top five off-the-wall predictions that could happen.
Off the wall. Okay, I forgot the off-the-wall thing.
Yeah, off the wall. Before the real opening day. Yes. That was five.
You know what I keep
thinking? That is really off the wall. You're setting a high bar. Four, three, two, one.
As you describe number five, all I could think about, and I give this Craig credit because this is the thought I'm thinking about. I'm thinking of Brandon Tierney's brain. Because if you tell him, if I'm happy for anybody with St. John's success, I can't even say it's Minko because it sounds like he doesn't even care that much. PT, I mean, I'm genuinely happy for him.
No, he takes ownership.
He loves it. He's excited. I think he wants that title more than any other title. Mm-hmm. So if you're telling me they get knocked out, I'll genuinely feel bad for him. Pitino leaves, I'll feel even worse. But then he's going to his NBA team? His brain will implode.
Right, he'll be confused.
And it puts him in a weird spot, though, because he loves the way St. John's plays, and he's been critical of the way the Knicks play.
That'd be amazing.
So he has to pick between his children. Would he rather see the Knicks play like St. John's, or St. John's continue to play like St. John's? So
it's a good one. It's a good one, Tommy. Keep going.
Number four.
All right, number four, the top five off-the-wall predictions that could happen before the real opening day. The Yankees sign Joey Gallo as a pitcher. I don't know if you saw this.
I did see this.
Joey Gallo wants to be a pitcher. We're seeing with Tyler Naquin. Joey Gallo returns to New York, but as a pitcher.
Well, he fits the budget, so why not?
Right.
Number three.
We discussed this a little bit in the segment before. John Cena pulls the old switcheroo and goes back to a good guy. Just kidding. I'm not a heel anymore. Well, I'm back to being a good guy.
I did have a...
Don't you think that's going to happen?
Eventually.
I think they're going to double turn. Cody's going to be a bad guy. John will go back to...
I was just about to say that to you. Like, that would be a really interesting swerve to end WrestleMania, where Cody and The Rock were together all along, and so Cena becomes the ultimate babyface because he just got manipulated and screwed. And Cody turns heel, and there's a double turn at Mania. I've thought about that. I don't know how you pull that off effectively, but it's not a bad idea.
Now, that would be after opening day, but still, you get the idea.
You're going to need The Rock to play a big role in it.
Big time. By the way, Tommy screwed up his own list because that is after opening day.
Right.
Oh, well, who cares?
Number two.
Just barely. All right. Again, this is the top five off-the-wall predictions that could happen before the real opening day next Thursday. Kyler Murray signs with the Mets and will play with the Cardinals and Mets this season. So Kyler Murray, I believe, you got to look this up, is an outfielder by trade.
Yeah,
so,
and I also think the A's still have his rights. Like, I think the A's would have to trade him to the
really
Mets.
Off the wall and improbable.
Yeah.
But remember, Kyler showed up at the Garden a few weeks ago with a Mets uniform on. Mm-hmm. So whose side is he on? Maybe he was teasing a signing with the Mets.
I think that was his way of trying to get to the Jets or Giants, but that's just me.
Damn it. All right.
Number one.
Number one on the top five off-the-wall predictions that could happen before the real opening day, Aaron Rodgers makes up with the Jets and the Jets trade Justin Fields to
the Giants.
All right.
Just kidding. All right, there you go. Cinco de Five-O every day, close to 5 o'clock. Sean will be back tomorrow. Now, the New York Yankees have had a bad spring training. Mm-hmm. We all understand that. Gerrit Cole's done. Tommy John surgery. Not going to pitch this season.
Just injury-wise.
That's what I really mean. Yeah. I mean, that's the only way you can actually have a bad spring training.
Right.
The results don't actually matter. But one of the arguments I've certainly used, and others have as well, is that, yeah, the Yankees may not be as good as we thought, and they may be worse than they were last year, but look at the American League as a whole. It's a very mediocre league. And every time I say that, it seems to offend some Yankee fans. I don't mean it to offend anybody. It's just a reality. I'm going to give you a stat that I think is crazy. So earlier this morning, I'm looking at the over-unders. I'm analyzing because I'm thinking, am I going to make some bets this year? Going to do a preview edition on the Rico Bronya for all the baseball. Let me check out the over-unders. The American League has zero teams. That means zero. Nobody. Not one American League team has an over-under above 90.
What?
Zero.
Not
zero.
Even the Yankees?
The Yankees over-under is now down to 88.5 after the Gerrit Cole injury. The other teams in the American League East, the Orioles, 86.5, the Red Sox, 86.5, Tampa Bay, 81.5, and just between us, the Blue Jays at 78.5.
Definitely go over.
Oh, I love the Blue Jays this year. That's just my, I'll give you a little preview. You look at the American League Central, they're all at 83.5 or 82.5 until you get to the White Sox, who are at 54.5. If you go to the AL West, the Astros are 86.5, and both Seattle and Texas are 85.5.
Is that parity good or bad for baseball?
It depends on who you are. It's good for the Yankees.
I'm talking
right
about
now.
from the perspective of Major League Baseball, hoping their product is watchable.
So I would tell you
that sounds like a lot of mediocrity.
Yeah, I would tell you that it's great for baseball because 11 of the 15 teams have over-unders that are above 500.
Mm.
So they're telling you it's going to be really, really competitive, that there's a lot of teams jumbled together with the Yankees being one of them. And I do want to provide a little bit of perspective on this. How many times has an entire league not had a team win 90 or more games?
I don't know. You're going to tell us because I know you looked it up.
Do you want the answer?
Yes.
It hasn't happened in the expansion era.
Ever.
Taking out strike-shortened seasons, obviously.
Right.
Non-162s. Hasn't happened. In the 162-game season era, that's not a thing. You got to go back to World War II for things like that. So it's an oddity.
Yeah, and that had, obviously, circumstances that contributed to that.
Of course.
Most likely.
Of course. So you are, and look, will a team win 90 games? Probably. I don't think we're actually going to get a full season where everyone's in the mid to high 80s.
Well, even with all the injuries counted in, the Yankees were only projected, 95 or 96 wins or something like that?
This season?
Yeah, this season.
No, they actually were, believe it or not, 92.5.
It
was lower,
More than that.
Yes.
The only team that I saw whenever this was, I don't know, a month ago, was the Dodgers. They were the only plus 100 team.
They are the only plus 100 team, but there are five National League teams with over-unders above 90.
Mm-hmm.
Five of them.
Right, and none in the American League.
Zero in the American League. So it gives you just a perspective on what this league is. And for the Yankees, of course, taking out 2020, this is the first time they have an over-under going into a season under 90 since 2017.
Yeah.
Is that not nuts?
What are what if they're wrong?
Well, they're going to be wrong.
What are the chances that they're just grossly wrong?
They are going to be wrong because someone will win 90 games.
Yeah, but this makes it also, this is a gambling site?
Yeah, this is basically every gambling site.
Right, so every gambling site, aren't they opening themselves up for massive takes on the over? Well, is that what they want?
I think there's going to be some unders, too, because 11 of 15 are above 500. And I'll tell you right now, 11 teams are not finishing above 500 in the American League.
No.
That's also a compliment to the league that while it's mediocre at the top, they have more at least average teams. Because you've got, think about this, 8 of the 10 teams in the AL East and the AL Central have positive over-unders.
Mm.
Now, is that going to happen? No.
It can't.
It's not. No, it can't. You're right. There are going to be teams, and I've got my opinion on who they'll be. There are going to be some teams that wildly disappoint, just like there's going to be some teams that are going to finish above 90. But the fact that we're going into a baseball season in which not one American League team has an over-under. Forget about 90. The highest over-under is 88.5, and that's by the New York Yankees. The second highest over-under is 86.5. That's not 90. That's 3.5 games off of 90. Right. So this is a good thing. I am not expressing this in some kind of bad way if you're a Yankee fan. This is a good thing because you want to make the playoffs and you want to win the division.
No, this is good for the Yankees, but this also just, you know, dials into what you've been saying for a while, that the AL is weaker than the NL.
It's not even close.
It's not even nearly close.
And that is not a bad thing because I can tell you this right now as a fan of a National League team. I'd rather be in a league that gives me an easier route to the postseason than, oh, we had a great year, we won 90 games, but man, the top of the NL is so good, we didn't make it. I don't want to be sitting here in October without playoff baseball.
Right.
If the Yankees win 85 games, but they're playing in the American League wild card or division series, let's go. It's playoff baseball.
What's the Mets?
The New York Mets number is, let me see. I was only looking at the American League. Okay, I got them at 90.5. Here are the teams with over-unders above 90 in the National League. The Philadelphia Phillies, 90.5. The New York Mets, 90.5. The Atlanta Braves, 93.5. And I agree with them. Yeah. I think the Braves are going to win the NL East. That's just my opinion. And then in the National League West, you have the Los Angeles Dodgers at 104.5.
Wow.
104.5. Which brings
that's
down.
What, 10 games above the next closest?
Yes.
Wow.
The next closest is Atlanta at 93.5. So it's actually 11 games better.
Wow.
Than the next closest over-under. Does that tell you about expectation?
No, it just tells you. No, expectation. What does that tell you about money? What does that tell you about spending money? It just gives you this ridiculous expectation and probably fulfillment to it. Because you lose two of your best players in your opening day, and you still win 4-1.
Yeah, they're a loaded team. They're very, very loaded with talent. I will tell you right now, and we'll make official predictions as we get closer to opening day, the one that jumps out at me is Toronto. I think a lot of people are really dunning the Toronto Blue Jays. First of all, their key players are all in contract years, which is dangerous, but it's also the makings of big years. Plus, I trust their solidness of their rotation. Like, I think the Red Sox have a lot of fire in terms of, boy, if things break right, they can be good. Garrett Crochet looks unhittable at times. Obviously, if Walker Buehler's healthy, we know how good he can be. But there's a lot of questions surrounding them. I like the kind of sturdiness of a Jose Berrios, a sturdiness of a Chris Bassett. So I like the sturdiness of their rotation, and I just love, like, Bo Bichette to have a bounce back year. You know, or even George Springer to have one good year in his final year of being under control by Toronto. And same with Vlad, who's obviously playing for like $500 or $600 million. So they're over-under being 78.5, which is one of the lowest numbers in the American League. Oh, I love them. I think I'm picking them to win the AL East. I'm thinking about
You're going to be wrong about that.
Why?
Because the Yankees are going to win the East.
Oh, okay. That's fine. I think the Yankees have a great chance. I think the Yankees are making the playoffs.
But there's no money in that.
Correct. There's not even money on them winning the division. Because right now the Yankees are minus 120 to win the AL East. They're still the favorites.
Right.
No matter what people think about them. The real money with the Yankees is betting them to miss the postseason. Which
isn't going to happen.
You say that so confidently.
It just doesn't. How often does it happen?
Last year, a year and a half ago.
Yeah, okay, but that was a random horrible season.
No, I know. I'm just. You asked me a question. I gave you an answer. Let's go to Joe in Smithtown. How are you, Joe?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Wanted to chime in about the greatest day in sports.
Yes.
Unequivocally, this Thursday and Friday, the Super Bowl is not even close. The Super Bowl is about everything but the game, but. In terms of the sheer quantity of basketball that's going to be forced down our throats, and there's nothing like the NCAA tournament in the fact that you're going to be seeing a kid who could potentially be selling insurance in 8 months take down a group of NBA prospects and go on this fairy tale run.
That's true.
If you're worried about having the sentimental value of not having a New York sports connection to it, that's all the sentimental value you need right there. Far and away the best thing ever.
It's a fair answer, Joe. I just don't share that same emotion as you. I respect the hell out of it, but I think what ends up happening...
It's hard to care. It's hard to care about that kid.
Because
he might win one game, but he's not winning four.
Yeah. Look, it's a little bit different, and I admit, we are on during games. And so we're doing a show, and so it's on in the background, and it's around. So I know that we've been jaded by what we do, but I remember doing middays. I'd go home, and I would just watch nothing but college basketball. And while it was entertaining, don't get me wrong, I had a good time. If you ask me today, and I have a pretty good memory, give me some memories. I've forgotten all of them.
Right.
I got to be honest with you. Like, I remember sitting there and eating. I remember watching the games. But I don't. It doesn't stick with me. The way he described it is really badass, and yeah. I give him a lot of credit, but it doesn't stick in my brain. Like, 2015 is just a year. I don't remember what actually happened while I was sitting there stuffing my face with food watching nothing but college basketball.
All right, so let's put to aside the fact that the reasons I love it, 12 hours of games, multiple TVs, the gambling, the eating, the camaraderie, all that stuff. When we watch sports and we watch the Giants or the Jets or the Mets or just an NFL game, it impacts our fandom. So there's always an agita, an anxiety, a nervousness. How does this affect me? We can finally sit there and watch sports. And it has no bearing on anything, unless you're a St. John's alum, something like that. But you know what I mean? Like,
right.
You could just sit down, Tekinev, and just enjoy sports and the pageantry of sports. You're not fidgeting. Oh, no. What does this mean for the Mets? I hope something doesn't happen. That's what I love about it. Plus, I like filling out the bracket and almost breaking up my girlfriend if she goes against me. But other than that, I love the pageantry.
I think that all of those things you described actually hurt it, though.
Really?
If there's less on the line, there's less reason to care about the result.
But your pride of your bracket or your whatever.
Pride of your bracket. I was just looking through the last winners.
Like, yeah.
You're right. I don't remember any of the tournament games.
Isn't that part of the problem?
Except for the one that I was physically at. That was the Virginia. Actually, the two they were in. The one against Auburn, which was the Final Four, and then the championship game. Those are the only two games I remember.
Mm.
It's just because I happened to be there.
No, I get you. I think that's part of the problem. Aaron Rodgers has still not decided what team he's going to go to. And so the other day, Cameron Hayward of the Pittsburgh Steelers was asked a very simple question, which was, hey, Cameron, would you go into the dark to try to recruit Aaron Rodgers? Like, would you do one of those darkness retreats and then say, all right, Aaron, look what I'm doing for you. Come sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Here's what Cameron Hayward said about that idea.
I ain't doing that darkness retreat. I don't need any of that crap. Like, either you want to be a Pittsburgh Steeler or you don't. That's simple. That's the pitch. Like, if you want me to recruit, that's the recruiting pitch. You know, Pittsburgh Steelers, if you want to be part of it, so be it. If you don't, no skin on my back.
I think that's the right approach, isn't it?
Sounds like you really don't care.
I don't know if it's I don't care
I like him.
He's a hell of a player. He's been there for a long time. Right. I think it's more, I'm tired of this. I'm not going to get down on my hands and knees and beg the guy.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if he's been involved or thinking about it, really. But I think if he's asked a question about whether or not a guy wants to come to Pittsburgh, it's pretty easy. If they're offering you the right contract, you know whether or not, you know what the Steelers are all about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They've been a certain way for as long as anybody can remember. Because even though Mike Tomlin is different than Bill Cowher, it's really not. It's the same expectation and the same consistency of winning. And I don't want to say dominance because they don't win enough Super Bowls, but they dominate regular seasons. And so you know what you're getting. It's not like you're going to go there and you're going to be surprised.
Right.
By what the fan base or what the organization is offering. You know it's going to be a winning situation.
You don't have to beg. Here's the deal, Aaron. You want to be a Pittsburgh Steeler? We'd love to have you. If not, we're going to move on.
Yes.
I think players, and certainly fans are getting to the point of, you know,
players are definitely getting that way. Because they're consistently asked about it.
Yeah, of course.
And it's like, I don't know Aaron Rodgers. I don't care. He's not my teammate.
Right.
Like, stop asking me this stupid question. If he's my teammate, then great. If not, who cares?
Now, we did ask the fans on our SNY Fan Choice poll, sponsored by Dunkin', the official coffee of Evan and Tiki, which team do you think Aaron Rodgers will choose to play for in 2025? We gave you four choices: the Giants, the Steelers, the Vikings, and retirement. The winner, with 44% of the vote, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yep, that was my guess.
Finishing in second, my guess, retirement, 28%. Finishing in third place, the Vikings, 16%. And even in a pro-New York world that we live in, the Giants pulling up the rear at 12%. And I agree, it feels like it would be a major upset if Aaron Rodgers chooses to be a New York Giant.
Right, I think I felt this last week when I said I was done with him. Just because it feels like the Giants are being used to up the ante.
Up the ante, or get to Minnesota, or potentially he's thinking about retirement.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it is a long shot now that Aaron Rodgers is going to be a New York Giant.
I think you're right.
And speaking of the New York Giants quarterback search, Josina Anderson is reporting that Jameis Winston, who met with the Giants today, has left the building.
They're all leaving the building.
They have left. It's like Elvis. Jameis Winston has left the building. So I'm sure it was a nice conversation. I'm sure there were a lot of laughs during that day. But they obviously didn't treat it like, hey, we got to sign him.
Right.
Because they let Russell Wilson leave on Friday. They're leaving Jameis Winston leave today. And they basically said, let's continue to wait on Aaron Rodgers.
Do you think those...
I don't know if they're necessarily waiting on Aaron Rodgers as opposed to just weighing everything.
Oh, they're waiting on Aaron Rodgers. What else are they doing? If they identify the quarterback they want to sign, they go sign him by now.
Yeah.
This is all about Aaron's our first choice, and I respect that. He should be their first choice in terms of winning in the short term. And I think they have the right attitude in that if we don't think we're going to lose out on our second and third choices, because maybe they do view
Which
Jameis.
They clearly are not.
Right. They're not worried about that. Then they're going to wait as long as it takes to get Aaron Rodgers.
Russell Wilson's not signing anywhere. Jameis Winston is not signing anywhere. Because who else is desperate to sign a backup quarterback or a veteran quarterback? There aren't any teams left.
I think in the case of Russ, it's incestuous in that Russ is the backup plan for both Pittsburgh and the Giants on if they miss out on Rodgers. So if you're Russ, you're not signing until Rodgers signs. And I think if you're Winston, you're probably thinking the same thing. Hey, I'll get a better opportunity after Rodgers decides.
And the only other landing spots are Tennessee, which is likely going to draft Cam Ward. They're going to stay and draft Cam Ward and then play that out. Maybe add some other veteran, Carson Wentz, later on. And then the Cleveland Browns. But they just signed Kenny Pickett, so... Like, I don't know. I mean, it just feels like both these teams, the Steelers and the Giants, are waiting, but they kind of know what the plan B is, which is we're just going to go with young quarterbacks.
Right.
And for Pittsburgh, that might work because they can afford to have a subpar season. It's not going to work for the Giants.
No,
That's the challenge.
Yes.
Do you think the interview is awkward when a Jameis or a Russell Wilson or a Joe Flacco sit down with the Giants? Because they got to know that the Giants are holding out for Aaron Rodgers. So you're walking into a job interview.
I bet the Giants tell them.
Hey, we're waiting on Aaron.
The Giants did the same thing last year with Russell Wilson, right? I'm just going to tell you, Russ, we'd love to sign you, but you're our backup.
Got to be honest.
They were completely honest.
Yeah.
So I can't expect that they are going to be anything other than that.
So are you getting the best out of Jameis or Russell in that interview process? Or are they just checked out? Like, all right,
settling.
They don't want me.
Russ wants New York. Russ wants to be here.
No doubt.
Right? Fact. I think Jameis Winston told us a month ago he wants to be a New York Giant after Saquon said it at the Super Bowl. Right? So I think teams desire New York, not because it's the vaunted New York Giants, but it's New York, a major market. But also, they have a quarterback hole.
Yep.
So I can fill it. So I think it's teams or players, quarterbacks want the New York Giants simply because it's a massive opportunity.
And that's why they'll wait and they'll see. Because look, the odds are, I think if we all use a noodle here, he's not picking the Giants. Like, it would be a major upset.
It doesn't make sense that he would.
It doesn't make sense. Like, it would basically, wait, you really think he is, Tommy? Come on.
Okay. Somebody jump on sides, damn!
Do I think that he is at this point holding out for the Vikings? Yes, but let's say the Vikings go with J.J. McCarthy. And let's say Mike Tomlin says, we're not going to wait on Aaron Rodgers. We're going to bring back Ross, or we're going to sign Jameis.
Then he'll be a Giant.
Right.
Yeah, that's why I said very unlikely. Like, all those things you just laid out are very unlikely.
You only need two things to happen. That's not unlikely.
But I don't think those two things are happening right now. Like, I think that clearly the Steelers are waiting. They are in the same spot where... I would imagine Russ is their backup. They know him. He was in the building last year. And if Russell Wilson's going to wait, then why would Mike Todd? There's a better chance the Giants move on before the Steelers move on.
But all indications are the Steelers don't really have an interest in Aaron Rodgers.
They offered him a contract. What do you mean they don't have any interest
in him? I mean, they've been very poo-poo on it,
Tommy,
in my opinion.
Tommy,
from my vantage point.
You got to face reality.
Hold on a second. I don't have to. Wait. As soon as Matthew Stafford... stuck around in L.A., we immediately heard about Aaron Rodgers and the Giants. Now it's a long shot?
I think it is a long shot. I think the odds are he goes to Pittsburgh or Minnesota.
Well, here's the reality, though, Tommy, is that even Matthew Stafford was a long shot.
Yeah.
I think the Giants knew that this was unlikely to happen, but you still have to pursue it because they're in the position to pursue everything. That includes all the rookie quarterbacks, all the free agents, Tommy DeVito, who they signed to a restricted rights contract in the middle of this. And so Like, they have to look at everything. It's just, that's just the position they're in. It sucks. It sucks to be there, but that's just ideal. Happens to be where they are.
I think you are one of those fans who, when you want something to happen, you try to will it into existence by explaining away everything else to make it true.
Right.
I've noticed this is a trend of yours. And maybe it's good for your mental health, by the way. So I'm not even admonishing you that it's bad. But you like to, maybe it's the positive Tommy thing. Like, your positivity is spread out now where you want Aaron Rodgers. You flip-flopped from January after I suggested it when you said, I want anyone but Aaron Rodgers.
That was January Lou Gehrig.
That was January Lou Gehrig, yeah. But you changed your mind, which I respect.
March Lou Gehrig disagrees, yeah.
And now you want him so badly that you are willing to suspend, like, reality to convince yourself that it's going to happen. Can I give you another example of this, Tommy?
Absolutely.
The Giants suck.
Tommy DeVito. You did the same thing. You so wanted him to be the answer. You
wanted?
Suspended reality
right.
to convince yourself he was the answer. Now, here's what's great about you, though. Because I don't want it to all be negative.
Okay.
I think you did the same thing with the Mets, except it happened.
Like, you call him positive Tommy's run with the Mets dumb luck?
Yes. I think you convinced yourself.
With that, okay.
We are going to turn the season around. You tried to find every reason it could happen. And by the way, it did. Like, good for you. That's why I gave you all the flowers when it happened. But I think you're trying to do it with DeVito. That failed. You're trying to do it with Rodgers now. I think you're even doing it after these Knick wins by continuing to call them dudes and dogs when clearly they don't have enough dudes.
No.
And they're not dogs.
Did damage last night from where I was sitting.
They're really good defensively. Offensively, yes. They're struggling right now.
And they're not dude-like.
No.
Nah.
That's last year.
That's last year.
I just look at it this way.
Yeah, how do you look at
it? We all were in high school. We all went to the prom. You ask one girl out, that's the girl you really want to go to prom with. She gives you a maybe. That kind of sucks. I was hoping for at least a yes or no. Mm-hmm. Right now, we asked Aaron Rodgers to prom. He gave us a maybe. I'd rather hold out until the girl I really want to go with the prom either goes with someone else or gives me an answer before I ask somebody else.
But tell me.
I have backups, but
maybe.
I'm going to
wait. I get a maybe. I'm just not going.
That's fair. I never said you're wrong about that. I've laid out why the Giants should wait for Aaron Rodgers. But I'm also speaking the truth that it's unlikely he's going to say yes. I'm okay waiting because he's your clear best option. But I'm also okay waiting because, like Tiki pointed out, I think Russ is going to wait. I think Jameis is going to wait. So I don't think it changes.
Because where else are they going?
They're not going anywhere.
Right.
So then, other than your own impatience with it, which I understand, there's no reason not to see it through. But the outcome is likely, I feel so bad saying it, like I'm breaking bad news to a child, you're not going to get Aaron Rodgers.
So I have been very zen-like with this approach, and I've been patient, but I think I'm in the minority. I think for the majority of Giant fans, this offseason with the quarterback search has been excruciating, right? Like, they dangled Matthew Stafford in front of us. Didn't happen. Now Aaron Rodgers, not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's ultimately probably going to end up with Evan being right about Shador, or it's going to be a Cam Ward, which is great.
No, it's going to be Russell Wilson and Shador Sanders. It'll be both of them. Just watch. I've said this since January, and you will see it.
Russ and Shador.
Yes.
That's cool, but it's just like one of those things where... Because again,
he hates it.
You don't love that at all. I can tell.
This is what I will say. I firmly believe this. I think everybody across the board, we do not want to see Russell Wilson as the starting quarterback in week one. Coming off the season we just had, I understand you have a rookie. Just play the damn rookie quarterback. Nobody wants to see Russell Wilson play quarterback week one for the Giants.
There are predictions I've made that I don't back off on because I feel so strongly in my bones. Russell Wilson will be a Giant. Shador Sanders will be a New York Giant. And one last thing, and I only have 8 days. Nolan Arenado will be a New York Yankee. Because my brain continues to report that by the time we get to Thursday, next Thursday, Nolan Arenado is going to be a Yankee. And I think I've agreed that I got to wear an L for a certain period of time. I don't know if you've decided the amount of time.
I don't think. Did we go over the amount of time? We'll wait for Sean to come back.
You didn't go over the amount of time. You just agreed I got to wear an L. Right. I tried to rub you guys into wearing L's. And that's when Sean and Loogie started like high-pitched voicing me a lot.
I think it was only a day.
Yeah, that's fine. Thursday is a perfect day to do it. Yankees opening day. Would you agree with that, Tommy? Thursday, Yankees opening day would be the day I wear my L if Arenado's not a Yankee?
No. We're only on the air for 13 and a half seconds.
Good catch,
speaking,
Tommy.
Speaking of prom night.
Good
but
job,
yeah,
Tommy.
No. The next day. You got to wear the L for the full show.
Fair enough. I thought that Thursday was going to fly.
No.
We're doing a 25-minute show
If he didn't catch it, I was.
I got a better question, though. I would wear it Thursday. I plan on going to Yankees opening day just to get my ice cream. And then coming to the studio.
Or wear it to Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, and could I wear it to Yankee? Would that count?
Yes, by the way.
Oh, actually, that would count.
Now you have to mingle.
A full public display of the L. That does epic things for the L.
Either at Stan's or Billy's, you have to wear the L for, I don't know, you'll go with Sean. He could designate the amount of time you're at the bar. And then you must meet fans of the show outside of the Mr. Softy station.
What?
Take pictures. Try not to spill anything on your shirt this time. Wearing the L, and I think you're good.
I have one kind of potential issue.
Go ahead.
I don't know if Yankee Stadium security is going to let me in with that thing.
Good question.
Oh, the chain. The chain might be an issue for you to get in.
The chain is plastic, dude.
What if that chain might be an issue?
What if you had
that
a credential?
That chain is not going to be an issue because people wear that chain that's metal, that's real. All the time.
I don't think the chain is the issue. I think security's going to look at a giant L around my neck and wonder what I'm using this for. Like, is it a weapon?
Explain it to them.
Oh, that'll go well.
They'll know who you are.
My brain was reporting Nolan Arenado would be a Yankee. My brain was wrong. Therefore, my body must wear an L at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah. Well said. That all makes sense. Very quick break, and we'll come back with your phone calls. 888-808-1019 is the toll-free number. And a little bit later on, I got to tell you about what a radio host did that got him suspended. Mm. And it's fascinating to me because there's so many things you could come up with on what a radio host could do to get suspended. But this one, I could give you 100 guesses you would not come up with.